by me.
By me.
Avidita tattva.
Without knowing the actual fact. Drisha. By experience. Sabayam.
In the assembly.
Shiptaha.
Was abused.
Durukti.
Unkind words.
Vishakahai.
By the arrows of.
Viganaya.
Taking no notice of.
Tat.
That.
Mam.
Me.
Arvak.
Downwards.
Patantam.
Gliding down to hell.
Arhat Tava.
The most respectable.
Nindya.
By defamation.
Apat.
Saved.
Drishya.
Seen.
Ardraya.
Out of compassion.
Saha.
That.
Bhagavan.
Your Lordship.
Svakritena.
By your own mercy.
Tushyet.
Be satisfied. Translation. I did not know your full glories. I say it one time. For this reason, I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly, although you did not take them into account. I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you, who are the most respectable personality. But you took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. She could repeat.
I did not know
your full glories.
For this reason,
I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly, although you did not take them into account. I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you, who are the most respectable personality, but you took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. So purport by divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, jai Prabhupada. As usual, a devotee in an adverse condition, that means a negative condition, of life, accepts such a condition to be the mercy of the Lord. Factually, the insulting words used by Daksha against Lord Shiva were enough to have him thrown perpetually into a hellish life. But Lord Shiva, being kind toward him, awarded him punishment to neutralize the offense. King Daksha realized this, and feeling obliged, that means thankful, for Lord Shiva's magnanimous behavior, wanted to show his gratitude. Sometimes a father punishes his child. And when the child is grown up and comes to his senses, he understands that the father's punishment was not actually punishment, but mercy. Similarly, Daksha appreciated that the punishment offered to him by Lord Shiva was a manifestation of Lord Shiva's mercy. That is the symptom of a person making progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. It is said that a devotee in Krishna consciousness never takes any miserable condition of life to be condemnation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means the Lord is not condemning him, or the Lord is not being negative towards him. He accepts the miserable condition to be the grace of the Lord. He thinks, I would have been punished or put into a more dangerous condition of life due to my past misdeeds. But the Lord has protected me. Thus I have received only a little punishment as token execution of the law of karma. Thinking of his grace in that way, a devotee always surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead more and more seriously and is not disturbed by so-called punishment. Yosa maya vidatta tattva drusha sabayam nishipto durukti vishkaya viganaya tanmam arvakpatantam arhatta manindiya pad drishyar dhryasa bhagavan swakritena tushyet. Om ganati vrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurin minitam gena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Of course, this is a very interesting topic for all of us. And we see that those who are not Krishna conscious, they do the opposite of what's being described here. Like if something bad happens to them, they blame God, they get angry with God. And if something good happens, they take the credit for it. It's all my doing. I'm such a good person, you know, look at all the good things that are happening to me, you know, I've won the Olympics, I've, become a famous movie star or whatever. It's all my credit. I pulled myself up, there's an expression in America at least, pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. That means actually I'm a self-made man. It's not my parents who did it for me. It's not Krishna, it's not the demigods, it's just me. Look at me. And if something bad happens, you blame, oh, it's my parents' fault, you know. Yeah. This is actually one of the main problems people have in society today. They blame things on other people or on situations. Like if someone gets angry a lot, they say, well, that's because my parents trained me up that way. Or that's because, why am I angry? Because I get angry a lot. It's a very common thing. Don't blame me. I have an anger problem. If someone drinks a lot, you know, intoxicated, he said, don't blame me. I'm an alcoholic. Right? I mean, it's just completely, no one takes responsibility for things in life anymore, isn't it? It's always someone else's fault. And I see that sometimes in ISKCON management, the reason I'm not Krishna conscious is because of the temple president. Huh? What does the temple president have to do with your level of Krishna consciousness? Nothing. Nothing. Your level of Krishna consciousness depends on how well you chant Hare Krishna and satisfy your spiritual master. No one can interfere with that. There's this verse. Savai pum sam paro dharma yato bhakti adhoksache ohoituki apretiyata yatma supersidate. Bhagavatam, first canto. He says, Savai Pumsam Paradharma. The topmost dharma is the bhakti or love of Krishna. That is devotional service to Krishna, active devotional service. Ahoituki pratyat. There is no cause for it. I mean, there's no material cause other than the mercy of a pure devotee. Apratyata, it's not stopped under any condition. So if you're not Krishna conscious, guess whose fault it is? Your fault. Don't blame your guru. Gurudev, it's your fault. You didn't reply in your email quickly enough to me. Now I'm all discouraged in Krishna consciousness. Gurudev, you chastised me. Now I'm feeling all depressed. Gurudev, you don't understand me. Huh? I get this all the time. You don't understand how sincere I actually am. Isn't it? I hear that all the time. You don't know what a good devotee I am, Gurudev. Huh? Makes me question about these things. So the point is, take responsibility. Something bad happens to you, it's your fault. Something good happens, Krishna's mercy. That's the way we see things. Okay, so what's being referred to indirectly here in this verse and purport is this famous verse by Lord Brahma. Tate nukampam sushamikshamana bunjanivatma kritam vipakam ridbhag vapurvir vridam namaste jiveta yukti Sudayabhak. That Lord Brahma says that a devotee sees everything that happens to him, at least the negative things that happen, as just the result of one's past sinful activities. You know, that I did something in the past. I may not remember what I did in the past. That's all right. But in some past lifetime or before in this lifetime, I did something. Right? And then I'm getting a token reaction for it given by the Lord, because if you're actually a devotee, Krishna reduces it. Just like Prabhupada one time was riding in a car and there was an accident, and Prabhupada said, we were meant to die, but because we were Krishna conscious, you know, Krishna reduced the whole thing. So, but then apart from that, from the tolerance, Lord Brahma says, Sridvag Bapurvir Vidadam Namaste Jivaita Yo Mukti Sudoi Sudoyabhak Mukti Pade Sudoyabhak. He says, one goes on offering service with his heart, with his words, and his body. Rid Vag Vapurvir. So in other words, one just doesn't say, I tolerate it. Krishna is sending it to me. Krishna is making me miserable. Okay, that's his business. No, one actually is grateful for those things. Thank you, Krishna. And actually you find great devotees like Queen Kunti. She's asking for more. She says, Tatra, Tatra, Jagat Guru. Oh, my dear Lord of the universe, again and again, I want these miseries. Can you pray like that? Sumukha, do you have the courage to pray like that? I don't think so. I don't. Prabhupada said we shouldn't pray like that. The material world's miserable enough as it is. So, I mean, we appreciate Queen Kunti, but there's certain things you just don't imitate with great devotees, like you don't take an ocean of poison like Lord Shiva. You just don't imitate. You don't dance like Krishna dances in the Rasa Leela dance. But so you don't imitate Queen Kunti. You appreciate her as a great devotee. If you try to imitate, you'll be in trouble. You say again and again, and then as soon as you walk out the door, a car rolls, runs you over, and say, oh, Krishna answered my prayers. So, yeah, actually, I was describing to the devotees yesterday, the only thing I really pray for is pure devotional service. I don't pray, you know, give me money, give me a house by the sea, Jai Jagadisha Hari. I don't pray like that. So I don't pray for misery either. We just pray, you know, Mama Janmani Janmani Shrey Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoy Tuki Twaye, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us. So Lord Brahma teaches us that one should accept gladly when something like that happens and go on, you know, just life, serving Krishna. And there's many examples of this. Even when devotees had the ability to counteract what happened to them, they didn't do it. I mean, let's take one example that comes to mind is that of Chitraketu. Chitraketu was a great devotee. Actually, let me tell the whole story. He had a lot of things happen that were pretty miserable in his life. What happened is that Chitraketu, he wanted to have a son. And so he married one woman, no son. Two women, no son. Three women, no son. 10 women, no son. 100 women, no son. 1,000 women, no son. 10,000 women, no son. 10 million women, no son. He was really trying hard. I mean, that's really enthusiasm to have a son, isn't it? Most of us would give up. I mean, I didn't even try. So he was trying. And then finally, he got blessed. You know, you'll have a son. And he was so enthusiastic to have a son that he was told the son would be called Harsha Shoka. You know, that means happiness and distress, basically. And so he thought, well, we'll have a son. And, you know, all children are Harsha Shoka. They give you happiness sometimes, and they give you lamentation other times. So that's life. So, of course, he had this son. Of course, the son was only the son of one of the wives. And then what happened? Then the other 9,999,999 wives, they didn't like it because he was paying attention only to one wife. Oh, my dear wife. Oh, you're so beautiful. You had my son. Oh, you're my favorite wife, he was saying to her. And the other women were going, ah. You can understand what it was like, huh? You know, they're breathing hard. And so they all got together, decide, let's poison this kid. You know, and that way we'll all be equally hated by the husband. Anyway, logic. Anyway, so they poisoned the kid. The kid died. And everyone was crying. Not the 9,999,999. They falsely cried. But anyway. But they were... So everyone in the castle was crying. Then along comes Narada Muni. And... Narada Muni has the son speak, you know, some philosophy. And then what happens is that Chitraketu at that particular juncture decides to take sannyas. Anyways, then he goes on Sankirtan after that point. He said, well, now's the time for Sankirtan, you know. I think I had enough trouble trying to have a kid. Anyway, so, and his Sankirtan, and his Sankirtan vehicle is like an airplane with a lot of ladies in it, which is all right. You know, they were all chanting Hare Krishna, so no problem. And no, he wasn't trying to have a kid with them. He was just having Sankirtan. So the big Sankirtan party, him and a whole bunch of ladies in the plane. So he was flying, and then he on the ground he sees Lord Shiva talking to the sages with Parvati on his lap. You understand? Parvati was on Lord Shiva's lap. And he comes down and he actually makes a little joke about it. And then Lord Shiva thinks, he's my friend, there's no problem, you know. He's a friend, they're both friends, you know. Friendly relationship. You know, sometimes people who are friends can joke or tease each other, it's not a problem. You like that. It's like, actually it's considered a symptom of love when people are very close and they tease each other. Isn't it? Sometimes in family life, isn't it? Wife teases the husband. The husband teases the wife. Not too much, or else he can get in trouble. Like, you have too many clothes, you have too many shoes. And she says, you have too many credit cards. Anyway, something like that. You never give me money. You don't need money. Anyway, so, like was that other story when Lord Shiva said, I'm not going to give you any mahaprasadam, you're not qualified. You know that story from the Chaitanya Mangal. So anyway, so Lord Shiva's all right with the whole thing, but Parvati's not. And she curses him to become a demon. And what does he do? He just folds his hands and says, Mata, my dear mother, you know, thank you very much for your mercy. And he doesn't get angry at all. And he accepts it. And he becomes the demon, Vritrasura. And who was eventually killed by Indra. But that demon was actually a devotee. Even though he's in a demon body, he preaches Krishna consciousness better than Indra does. Indra's killing him, and Indra had to suffer because he killed the demon who was actually a devotee. That's one story from Bhagavatam. So he just accepted things. It was just like, Krishna, Krishna's mercy, he's teaching me a lesson. And he went back to Godhead because of that, right? Head cut off by Indra. He swallowed Indra. Indra came out. You know, this anyway, it's a Bhagavatam story. I don't need to tell the details. So that's one instance. You were telling examples to illustrate the point. Another instance, of course, is the famous story of King Parikshit. King Parikshit was wandering around his kingdom, you know, practicing hunting and things like that. And then he came to the ashram of this Samaka Rishi. And Samaka Rishi was meditating on Krishna, deep in trance. And King Parikshit, because of yoga maya, he was very thirsty, hungry, thirsty. And the sage was just sitting there. It's just like if you walk into someone's house and you're really hungry, you'll say, hey, buddy, where's the prasadam? Just like sometimes we're going to visit people's homes and they want to do the guru puja and the foot bathing and everything like that. And I said, let it. Get it over with already. Get it over with. You know, the real thing is taking prasadam, you know. I have to suffer through the foot bathing and the puja. You know, it doesn't satisfy the tongue to get puja. Anyway, so the same way. Parikshit Maharaj got angry and he put a snake, a dead snake, on Samyaka Rishi's neck. And then after he left, Samyaka Rishi's son, Sringi, came, right? And he saw, oh, my father has been offended. And he cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days by the bite of the snake bird, Takshaka. And when Maharaj Parikshit heard this, he said, well, Krishna's mercy. Time to hear Bhagavatam, no more management. Don't have to be a GBC anymore, you know, whatever. Fantastic. You know, let me just chant. And so he just found Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami found him, actually, because he was asking the sages, you know, what do we do? And the Shukadeva Goswami came wandering in, and Shukadeva Goswami, you know, being the wonderful son of Vyasadeva, Shuka, parrot of Radharani, and he was recited the Bhagavatam. So, you know, he made a good thing out of a bad thing. Parikshit Maharaj. In other words, because he took it as Krishna's mercy, he got the association of Shukadeva Goswami. Isn't that cool? Isn't that nice? If he had tried to counter, he was powerful enough to counteract it, Prabhupada said. He could have just said, all right, that course isn't going to work. Because he was a pure devotee. And it wouldn't have worked. Because you can't curse a pure devotee against his will. It's like sometimes people tell me, oh, they gave me the evil eye, they cursed me. I said, don't worry, just chant Hare Krishna. So anyway, he made a good thing out of a bad thing. That's a devotee. And the final story I'll tell is the story of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was in his home, and they were having the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya and his associates having a kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, and what happened in the middle of the kirtan is Srivas Thakur's son died, right? Very unfortunate thing. And Srivas Thakur's wife, Malini, and the ladies, they were doing what they do. They were crying. You know, there were like 50 ladies crying, and that is really something. That is worse than death, actually. You hear 50 ladies going, woohoo! I could never tolerate that. I just run out the door, you know. So Srivas Thakur said, what's the problem? They said, your son has died. And they said, well, Srivas Thakur told them, I don't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. You know, he's died. That's life. He said, if you keep crying, I'm going to give you something really to cry about. You know, the ladies had to go. That reminds me when Lakshman told his wife, when he went into the forest with Lord Ram, don't cry the whole time I'm gone. Did you know that story? He told her. Her name was Urmila. He told her, don't cry the whole time I'm gone. So she just had to. Imagine, that's the worst torture for a lady, isn't it? You say, you're not allowed to cry. If you cry, you're finished. I'm leaving you. Try that sometime on your wife. See if it works. So anyway, the woman somehow or other didn't cry. But then Lord Chaitanya kept his kirtan. At the end of the kirtan, he said to Srivas Thakur, something has happened here. You know, Lord Chaitanya sensed it. Something has happened, unfortunately. What's happened? And then it was described that, you know, Srivas Thakur's son died. And Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, why? Didn't you tell me? And Srivas Thakur said, I didn't want to stop your ecstasy. You know, this is very insignificant compared to your service. Wow. What a realization, isn't it? Very insignificant compared to your service. And Lord Chaitanya rushed into the room and he made the boy speak. It's similar to the story of Narada Muni and Harshashoka. And the boy said, you know, many, many births I've seen, basically little Bhagavad Gita philosophy, and now I've seen you, Lord Chaitanya. In fact, no one back to Godhead. Anyway, so, and that was nice too. Your son goes back to Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas Thakur, because you tolerated this, because you have so much devotion, he said, from now on, I and Lord Nityananda will be your sons. That was the reward he got. Isn't it interesting, isn't it? That I and Lord Nityananda will be your sons. So if a devotee, the reason I'm telling this story is to illustrate the point that if a devotee tolerates things, and we all have things happen to us, you know, in the performance of our service, if we tolerate and keep a good attitude towards Krishna and keep serving Krishna and speak nicely about Krishna at the same time, then we get pure devotional service. Or as Prabhupada translates this verse, it is one's rightful inheritance. Just like if your father passes away and he leaves you money, then your rightful inheritance, that means you're supposed to get that money. So if one does these things, you will get pure devotional service and tolerates. And we were actually speaking about this last night too, about tolerating and also having a good attitude. Because not only should we have a good attitude towards Krishna, which is easier in many respects, but we should have a good attitude towards even the person who is apparently giving us the pain. That's a real point. Because as Krishna says, yastu sarvani bhutani atman evana pashyati, that's the Upanishad. Sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vigagupshate, that one should see everyone as connected with him and not hate anyone or hate anything. And specifically, not hate the person who is causing you pain. And the story to illustrate that is a story I've told many times, is the story of Dharma the bull being attacked by Kali. And when Dharma the bull was asked by Maharaj Parikshit, who has done this to you, he could have said, here is the guy, kill him, now. Instead, Dharma the bull just said, it's very difficult, you know, basically it's Krishna's mercy. And he didn't hate the person who was doing it to him. There was no concept of enemies. He understood it was Krishna's plan. So not only in relationship to Krishna do we have to be positive, but even to all of his parts and parcels when something happens. Ajata Shatrava, not to consider anyone to be our enemy. So anyway, these are some of the points here. So any questions or comments? We've told some stories, illustrated the point. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? What?
Just regarding your last comment you gave on the purpose, this reminds me of a verse in the Bible where it says, hate the sinner, not the sinner,
right. Also, there's another verse, if someone hits you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. You know, tolerance, which is, we spoke about this the other day, which is a contrast from the Old Testament in the Bible, where eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, vengeance. We actually mentioned this the other day. So the Vaishnava is not like, you did this to me, I'm going to do that to you. A Vaishnava is that you may have done this, but Krishna's behind it also. There's a lesson I have to learn. It's to help me in my Krishna consciousness. So if someone criticizes me, I should think, you know, Krishna's arranging this. What do I have to learn? What do I have to do as a result of that? Then we make advancement. But another thing is we actually get angry at the person who's angry at us. We're on the same level as they are. We might as well get angry at ourselves, right? We're exactly on the same level as they are. If they say, I hate you, and we say, I hate you too, then you're both equally the same. There's no difference. He or she is controlling you then. So instead you say, so it says, I hate you. Do you think, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what, you have some problems there. But I love you. Try that sometimes. Anyway, okay. Any other questions or comments? We're going to have to greet the deities in about 2 minutes. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Nice and cold enough for everybody? This is Vaikuntha weather. Better get used to it. So, no? In Goloka Vrindavan, actually, they have all the four seasons. And sometimes all four seasons are there simultaneously in the same forest. So we go from one part of the forest to another, and it'll be spring, summer. And it's even described, I was just reading, in Nanda Vrindavan Champu, that Krishna, sometimes it's so hot that Krishna is sweating. You know, he's taking care of the cows and everything like that, and he's just sweating, and all the cow boys and Mother Yashoda's all worried, my poor boy is getting too hot. So there's heat also there. And sometimes it's cold. And sometimes it's rainy season. And sometimes there's a forest fire and Krishna swallows it to save the residents of Vrindavan. There was a forest fire, I was just reading the Nanda Vrindavan Champu. Now you got me started, or I got started. Anyway, there was right after Krishna kicked the heads of the Kaliya serpent, sent him to Ramanaka, which is, I guess, here, then the residents of Vrindavan, they slept that night on the banks of the Yamuna because it was too late to go back. And as they were sleeping, there was a big forest fire. And Krishna, and they were all scared. They took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna just said, close your eyes. They closed their eyes, and it was gone. He's God. Anyway, so, on that note, that's all glorious to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.